Thank you for tuning into Kineticast. I'm your host, Dr. Bo. We have our first guest back today is Dr. Brennan from Kinetic Center Dallas. Dr. Brennan, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always good to be on the podcast.
Yep, and we got the new booth.
That's right.
Yep, so we're going to be able to produce a little bit more content for everyone and then continuously improve quality in here. So that'll at least be better for everyone's headphones when they're using headphones to listen. So Dr. Brennan, tell us about your history. Let's remind everybody.
All right. So my history is in mainly strength. I came up through powerlifting, started in high school all the way through college, was All-American in college and a national and state champion in high school in powerlifting, and have been continuing on through strength training, been lifting for over 15 years and competing in different sports that way. And even in other sports, I've seen the benefit from the strength training that I did in powerlifting transfer over to other sports, such as like the Australian football I played last year. But I'm a 3D functional expert on using the barbell to advance your rehab and get your body moving better for people that are sometimes afraid of the barbell or sometimes have injuries because of the barbell, because of their repetitive movements, such as powerlifters with the barbell.
You said people are afraid of the barbell. What do you mean?
Well, occasionally we have patients that are afraid of the barbell, especially deadlift. I mean, I'm sure you know for sure, and a lot of our listeners know as well, that deadlift is a movement that for some reason is demonized.
It's controversial, man.
It is, and for some reason it's a demonized movement, and the barbell is scary just because it's big and you put the weights on it, it makes a lot of noise. So teaching people that not only can they do it, but they can actually lift a lot of weight on it too is pretty cool to see whenever you can get a older female to deadlift 115 pounds the first time she ever does it. She's pretty impressed with herself.
Well, I mean, I think that even not even the older population, I think that we have a lot of people that will be impressed with themselves when they deadlift 115 pounds because I don't think a lot of people know what they're capable of with everything.
Agreed. Most definitely. Most people don't realize their potential for sure, especially with their body. The body is an amazing thing.
Yeah, well, I think that whenever you're scared and you have fear and going into something, that's the best way to get hurt anyway.
Yep, and pain creates the fear, and then the pain creates bad movement, and it's just a vicious cycle unless you get help. And
yeah.
That's so, what we're trying to do.
So let's talk about how you use a barbell for rehab.
So we can integrate the barbell into rehab to, one, help the person lift more weight. Sometimes it also changes their balance and will engage different fascial chains. That's why we love the deadlift so much. It hits that superficial back chain all the way from the foot to the head, and the barbell helps us continue to advance those movements past sometimes what they can do with just the kettlebell or the dumbbell or, of course, resistance bands for sure.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, Dr. Brennan over here dropping some fascial knowledge on you right now, so don't forget it. From the toes all the way to the head. But that's what I tell people too, is like the deadlift is so important. It's, you got to do it right. It's not about just pushing it to the max and seeing how much you can do every time. It's about controlling the movement. It's about hinging. So hinging through that posterior line. Then you're working on some control with like legs when you have to control weight that's outside of your body. So now you're balancing and distributing weight properly between each leg. I mean, there's a lot of work that comes with a deadlift that people forget, and they only think, well, I'm going to hurt my back.
Yep, and it's just such a vital piece to getting them stronger, and it's been good to show people that the barbell is actually a good thing.
So what's your favorite patient that you help deadlift? You can't say names. HIPAA bro.
No, I mean, it's always cool to help a lifter get back to hitting numbers that they, well, one first couldn't do at all because they were injured, and then hitting new PRs. But it's really cool to see someone like some of the runners I've worked in with in particular that didn't strength train much at all. And then once we got them not only strength training but deadlifting specifically after getting into their rehab and making sure they're moving correctly, they were able to see some tremendous differences. How they were mentioning, like, man, when I run, I just feel like I'm floating now, or my legs feel so much more powerful. It's like, yep, deadlift will do that to you.
I feel like I'm floating. I don't ever feel like I'm floating. When do I get to float? I was like, as soon as I start mile one, I'm like, all right, let's see how long this takes. And then I get to about mile three, and I'm like, all right, the legs were supposed to be warm by now. And then mile four or five, I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm getting tired, you know? And it's just like, there's no floating, man. It's just a consistent, like, mental game all the way through running for me. But no, I get what you're saying. I think mine's probably, it's similar. I think if I see a patient that increases their performance with it, and they can, what they're looking to do, whether it be running or whatever sport they're into, just seeing that their performance increases, even like pickleball, it translates to more power to the ground, and you get more, you just get more planted and you get stronger in that position, and you're preventing injury, because pickleball right now has a ton of lower leg injuries.
Definitely.
And I think it's just strictly like, we can't get into our hips, we're overloading that anterior knee motion, and I work with athletes on that every day.
Agreed.
But people are getting more into that constant position that they stand in. So when they do that, well, here come the lower leg injuries, you know?
Agreed. Yeah, and the deadlift helps them sit into the hips too. So it helps them learn how to use the hips, and then gives them that hip power too. So,
all right, so tell me about the difference between strength and rehab.
So the difference between strength and rehab, so strength, we're truly trying to build up those muscles, build up those tendons, build up those ligaments. The rehab that we give our patients, we're trying to actually change the way you move, improve the way you move to improve your mechanics, improve your efficiency, which is in turn going to improve that performance. The rehab in particular needs to be done daily, and that's to change your movement patterns. If we can't do it daily, we're not going to actually change the way you move. Whereas strength training, obviously, as everybody knows, we don't do strength training every single day. We will
not get everybody overuse. Knows that, bro.
Well, we will get overuse and injuries with that. So rehab is something that we do on the daily, whereas strength training is something we're doing trying to make our body more resilient.
Okay. So I guess so. When you're looking at strength, you're really just trying breaking down muscle fibers to build back largely. Whenever you're doing rehab, you're probably looking more for neurological control. Yeah, you get a little stronger from firing some new muscles, but you're not truly looking at building strength in that. So it's more of just a control aspect.
And improving efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. So but that's why they're so important together. You don't necessarily want to do one or the other. You want to make sure you're constantly doing both. I recently had an issue where I was training and I for some reason didn't use a barbell for 3.5 weeks, and I preach it every day to do, and then you had to treat my calf strain that I had when I got a strained calf in 1:20 into a basketball game, you know, like I didn't even get to do anything. I got one foul, you know, and it was right when I got that strain. I was like, whatever, I fouled the guy. But my point is though that I've started doing less barbell and less of my functional movement lifting, that the main functional movements that I like to do. And that's whenever I got hurt. So, I mean, Dr. Brennan got me back really fast. That was a week later I played in the basketball game. So I think that speaks for itself on results. But I think that moving away from the functional movement loading was bad for me. And I think it caused more load to my lower legs.
I would agree with you. After the exam and everything, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're like, that's what I said, man. All right, so the functional movements that we need to strengthen, right? So I just talked about some like that I have in particular, but what are some of the, say like three top movements that you would say that a barbell is necessary for, that you need to be loading?
So runners in particular, I always tell my endurance athletes in general that whenever you're training, you're always training muscular strength and muscular endurance. Whether if you're doing running, obviously we're more on the muscular endurance side. And if you're hitting a one rep deadlift, you're all the way on the strength side. And they spend most of their time on that endurance side, the runners and endurance-based athletes in general. And what I'll tell them is even when they go to the gym and you talk to them, they do sets of 20, sets of 25. They're doing high rep stuff. So they're still working muscular endurance.
That's what they're good at, bro.
That's what they love. And we do what we love, and we do what we're good at. So right. They do the high rep stuff because they can bang out those reps and they get a bunch of them.
Yep.
But what they actually need to be doing is they actually need to be training almost like a power lifter, where they're going heavier weight, lower reps, not a lot of sets.
A powerlifter's man, they'll do a squat for 5 hours. Just one movement for 5 hours.
Maybe not imitate that part. I also don't suggest doing the candy between sets part.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? You're not Marshawn Lynch on the sideline?
No.
That's kind of what I was thinking about, too. I think that for me, like, I have longer legs and loading, so I think front squats have always been a good movement for me to load my hips and get some good load to my quads. And then I think the deadlift, like we talked about, is a big one. And then back squatting. I mean, those are three primary lifts I find necessary. But that kind of leaves out any presses overhead, you know? And I think that in itself is really good core stability as much as scapular stability and glute activation. And we know we're talking about putting everything together as a unit, not firing everything separately. So if we're firing everything as a unit, then you'd have to think, well, what are you doing overhead? Because people do things overhead. So it's almost like you saw training all of these movements are necessary.
It is necessary, but the overhead part is definitely the most complex piece, like you said. So many compensations that people fall into, whether it's winging the elbows out, letting the ribs flare, looking up at the ceiling, getting the head in a big extended position, or yeah, that overhead is definitely the hardest piece to get people to do correctly.
Well, and I have, right now, I have a CrossFitter who works on the airlines, and she, anytime she pressed anything up overhead, that's an issue for her. And so we have to get that overhead movement back. It's not just for CrossFit, but it's just for daily life and work as much as anything else. So talk about a specific patient story. Like, don't list any HIPAA violations, man. But what's a specific patient story you can think where, like, the barbell was that last piece to get someone through the last part of whether it be their pain or their goal or whatever it was that was stopping them and why they were seeing you?
Yeah. If I had to think about that one a little bit, I would actually say that it was actually probably a foot pain patient. Got them stronger. We did all the type of, like, foot and ankle rehab. We started to get their feet stronger, and it seemed like they were getting pretty good results with the exercises. They were getting better at them. They were able to do more weight. We had transitioned to minimalistic shoes. They said their feet were getting wider. They felt like their feet were stronger, and the issue was improving, but we just got to the point where it seemed like it was being stubborn, didn't really want to go away. And whenever we started loading them up heavier, which they weren't used to, with the barbell, doing some squats, where we were making that knee translate forward and actually put some strain on that ankle joint and those tissues surrounding that area, it definitely seemed to be the last piece to help them transition to learn how to control that whole ankle foot joint better and actually control it, loaded and strengthen that area. So it was actually a foot issue that I would say was the biggest last piece, was the barbell.
That's cool. I think that'll open some eyes too. Like, I think people will think, well, man, I didn't realize I should be doing, like, barbell squatting for someone's ankle and foot pain, you know?
Right.
A lot of times you'll hear doctors say, don't squat when you have ankle or foot pain.
Well, that's probably the same doc that just told them to rest. Just rest.
Yeah, just get off of it, you know? I know it's an ankle sprain. Just get off of it. Then that way it can last 4 to 6 weeks instead of the, you know, 1 to 2 weeks that it can take. So, all right, that's cool. Do you have any type of advice for anybody that you think, for if they want to start functionally training and maybe they won't have the opportunity to come see you in Dallas or anything like that, what advice would you give for someone if they're like, hey, you should start here, work on this, and try to progress to this?
So one of the biggest concepts that I teach a lot of my patients is it's not cheating to shorten the range of motion. So if you can shorten the range of motion on any type of movement, whether it's a lunge where you lunge to a box instead of all the way to the ground, or a squat where you're squatting to the box instead of all the way down, or a deadlift to a step, or whatever it may be, if you can reduce the range of motion, you can likely, one, have better form while doing it, and then two, lift heavier weights. And if we're trying to up the load and get you lifting heavier weights, this is a great way to get you comfortable with heavier weights, is to reduce that range of motion just a bit and be able to go through all the traditional movements you're already doing just with heavier weight and with better form.
Yeah, so if you're saying traditional movements you're already doing, someone might not even know. Like, think about that runner that's not under a barbell yet. What would you tell them?
Well, we need to get started with simple movements like deadlifts and squats and lunges, and start with body weight. Obviously learn how to move with body weight, and then transition to possibly kettlebells or dumbbells, and then finally transition to barbells. Of all free weights, barbells are going to be the most complex to lift for all movements. So that's why it is more of the advanced rehab here at the clinic. People don't typically start on the barbell. It is the most advanced piece. So whenever you're in the gym, it is something that you kind of have to earn the right to use.
Dang, man, that's crazy. But you heard Dr. Brennan say, don't just go straight to the barbell, grab it, and try to pull it up. He said, go with body weight movements, then start working with kettlebell to mimic it so you get some light functional loading, and then start working with lightweight on the barbell and then work that up. But if you're new to it, don't jump into it heavily. If you're experienced, just what would you say there, Dr. Brennan?
So with those experienced people, that's what I was mentioning, that maybe they can reduce the range of motion a little bit and start to increase their weight even more so they can get comfortable with those heavier loads.
It's like quarter squat with more weight.
Quarter squat with more weight, reverse lunge to a 3-inch step, deadlift off of the weight slightly elevated so that you can feel more comfortable with it. Yep, rack pull. Even like if they're doing bench press, put something on their chest where they don't go down as far, or do weighted push-ups where you only go down halfway. Or
you talked about bench press. Let's talk about that real quick. So a lot of people don't like bench press either. That's another movement that is starting to get more and more practitioners moving patients away from. How do you feel about that?
So bench press is a movement that's going to allow us to overload the shoulders and arms in a way that you're just not going to be able to really do with a push-up, because the core is going to be the limiting factor if you try to load weight onto the push-up. It is going to be a movement that we don't need a whole lot of, but it is a movement that people should train so they can get used to supporting that type of weight with their arms and being able to breathe while holding heavier weight and being able to move that weight.
I love what you said. Excuse me. But breathe while holding that weight. I'm big into the breathing. We know that. It's Kelly Starrett, right? He's the one who said get in the bottom of the squat, breathe 3 times. And then everyone started incorporating more and more of that into rehab. But that's something that, like with weightlifting, like it's been a big thing, like being able to control that weight and create that diaphragmatic activation and that big belly breath and brace, and just being able to get there. Look how that transitions to any brace, right? Picking up anything, whatever you're doing. And you can transition just like you said, body weight, kettlebell, and then into the barbell, and then just like if you're not a bench presser. I think that with bench press, there's different techniques that people need to focus on for different body types as well. I think that's necessary. I think that you need to look at how much arching of the back versus like shoulder positioning. Because right now I have a patient that I told that I want him to elevate his shoulder more while he bench presses. And that's not so common thing you would tell anybody to do, but it's going to help him stabilize the shoulder into a different position, because right now, anatomically, he has a 6-degree tilt on our system, and it's been coming up, and he can put it at 0, but we want to strengthen it to 0 where he doesn't have to hold it there. And we're now putting his shoulder in a position and utilizing bench press to stabilize the joint itself. So that's kind of a way how we look at it too. Do you have any patients that you've used bench press for?
Things I've used bench press for. I can't think of anything in particular I've used bench press for. I have helped out with how people grip the bar for bench press quite often, and that's one thing that definitely can cause some issues with pain in the elbow and shoulder and even the wrist, but haven't had anyone in particular I can think where bench was part of the rehab.
That's right there, buddy. I gotcha. They call me Dr. Bo, the 3D barbell doctor. You know what I mean?
Bench press doctor.
Bench press. No one's ever going to call me that. Oh, man.
Your arms don't look like bench press arms?
Man, my chest doesn't look like bench press chest. You know what I mean? So, Dr. Brennan, thanks for joining us. That was good information. I really like the concept of trying to get people to challenge themselves, add more load. It's great for the neurological system. It builds muscle. It's the number one way to add calcium to your bones. So if you have bone density issues, you should be looking at how to be doing more loaded lifts and weight movements. The problem is that when people say loaded, they think I'm lifting heavy. And if the weight doesn't break the 5 to 10 pound number, they're not lifting heavy enough. That's
exactly.
You're
just carrying a purse.
Or their groceries, man. Like, I know I've made the one tripper where I'm like, that's got to be 50 pounds. This is a 60-pound farmer's carry on the way in.
Right, and some people, that's the most exercise they do in the week.
Well, that's
true. The most
true.
Strength training they do.
Strength training, yeah. That's well, and exercise for some people, and that's another problem. We can talk about that on another podcast. All right, Dr. Brennan, thanks for joining us. Always good to have you, man.
I'm excited to be in the booth.